Let's stand to read 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2, and we'll look there at verse number 3. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 3. The Bible says, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. In other words, we ought to walk in the way that Christ walked. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask you to just speak to our hearts this morning. Give us understanding of your word. Please convict us and challenge us by your word. And Lord, may we leave today, having made decisions in our heart, and then go making decisions to maybe change some things in our life, or apply some things in our life, or to begin doing some things that would help us to walk as our Savior walked. Help us, Lord, please, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I want to preach to you this morning about walking in his steps. Walking in his steps. We ought to walk even as he walked. The Bible says there in verse number 6. What does it mean, walking in his steps? A couple things just here in these verses. Number one, I think it means we keep his commandments. We keep his commandments. Verse 3, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we" what? "Keep his commandments." Do you know the Lord? Do you truly know the Lord? Is Christ abiding in you, and are you abiding in Christ? One of the ways that we'll know that we're in him, that we're in Christ Jesus, will be that we keep his commandments. It says in verse 4, "And he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected." It's being perfected. "Hereby know that we are in him." Again, we're challenged in those verses and told and really said it's a sign that we're in Christ and so on. If we are keeping his commandment, are we keeping his word? The things that God's word commands us to do, or tells us to do, or asks us to do, are we doing those things? And the Bible says that's how we're going to know that we're in him. That's how we're going to know that we're in Christ Jesus, because something ought to change. The Bible says we do become a new creature. And there ought to then be some desires that I would be keeping God's commandments. I would be doing those things that please the Lord in my life. So what does it mean to walk in his steps? First, I really think it means that we keep his commandments. That ought to be an obvious. But secondly, or letter B, letter A, letter B, however you want to call it, we follow his example. We follow his example. Verse 6 said, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." The things that Jesus would be doing, I'm to be doing. The way that Jesus walked, the way that Jesus lived. Do you know that's how you and I are supposed to live? You say, "But he's God. How can I live like him?" Well, when you get saved, God comes to live inside of you. The Spirit of God comes to live inside of you. And we are enabled, and we have the power that we don't have to just live over here in the flesh and live a life completely of sin. We have a way that we can follow after him. And we have God's power and God living within us to help us to follow the example that Christ has set for us. I want to look at the scriptures this morning, and I want to show you some things of how did Christ walk? How did Jesus live? And say, listen, this is what we ought to follow. We ought to follow his example. If we're going to walk in his steps and be following after the Lord Jesus Christ in our life, then how should we be walking? How should we be living? What should we be doing? I think five or six things here this morning. How can we follow his example? How can we walk in his steps? Number one, follow his example of loving. Follow his example of loving. Turn back with me to John chapter number 15. John chapter 15. And look there at verse number 9. John chapter 15 and verse number 9. Do you want to follow His example? Do you want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? I hope that you do, and I believe that you do. I don't think you came to church this morning, but you know, I don't want to follow God. I don't care less about following Jesus. I think you want to. I think you want to follow in His steps. I think you'd like to follow His example in your life. And I want to challenge us about these things this morning. How can we follow His example? Number one, follow His example of loving. John chapter 15 and verse number 9 says, "As the Father hath loved me," Jesus is speaking, "as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you." He said, "I followed the Father's example of loving. I followed His example of loving." And then He says, "So continue ye in my love. Continue ye in my love." The way that the Father loved, Jesus sought to love. And then He says, the way that the Father loved and the way that I've sought to love, that's the way I want you to love. That's the way I want you to love people. That's the way I want you to love God. Continue ye in my love. He says, verse 10, "If ye," again, those words, "keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love." And in this relationship we have with our God and with our Heavenly Father, it seems like it must be important that we keep His commandments and we do what He wants. It must be that He's God. It must be that He's the one we're supposed to follow, and so on. Verse 11 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." I'll think about it. Who did that for us? Jesus. No greater love than that. He laid down His life for us. Truth is, we were His enemies, but we only became His friends because He laid down His life for us on the cross of Calvary. Verse 14, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." Notice the example of Christ's love for the Father that made Him do the Father's will. He followed in the example and the pattern of the Father's love, and then said, we too, we're supposed to continue in that love. You know, it'll be love for our Heavenly Father. It will be love for our Savior that will constrain us to keep His commandments. John chapter 14 and verse number 15 says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." We're to follow in the love of Christ. We're to follow in His example of love. Turn back to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. So that example of Christ's love, the love that Christ had for His Father, that He continued in that love, that He showed that love, that in following in that love, He was willing to give His life on Calvary for us. We're to follow in that example. That love in example teaches us also how we ought to love others as Christ would. John chapter 13 and verse 34 and 35. "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." He said in verse 34, "As I have loved you, that ye also love one another." He says, the way that I've loved you, that's how you should be loving one another. The kind of love that I showed to you, the kind of self-sacrificial love, the kind of love that said, I will love them no matter what they do to me, no matter how they treated me, that's how we ought to love. The kind of love that doesn't, you know, put itself first, but puts others first and tries to do what will help them. That's the way we ought to love. We ought to follow Christ's example of loving. Follow His example of loving. Will you love your husband in that way? Will you love your wife in that way? Will you love your children in that way? Will you love your parents in that way? Sometimes we live in a society where a lot of people think, kids, and we live in a generation where so many times people think people owe them something. And my parents owe them something. And my parents are supposed to do everything for me. Well, why don't you just turn around and love them and do something for them? Love them. We're to follow His example of loving. The way that you treat people, are you following His example of loving? The way you're striving to get along with other people, are you following Christ's example of loving? Or is your love, oh, you hurt me? You mistreated me? You didn't do something for me? Okay, I'm going to withhold my love from you. Or I'm going to try to get even with you. Or, we're not to act like that. We are to love one another. We're to love our Father, love Christ. We're to love one another and continue in His love. As He followed the example of His Father's love, we're to follow that example of loving. Are you walking in His steps? Are you walking in His steps? That means we keep His commandments. That means we follow His example. Under that, number one, we follow His example of loving. We follow His example of loving. Secondly, we follow His example of submitting. Submitting. Turn back with me over to Matthew chapter number 26. Matthew chapter 26. We need to follow Christ's example of loving. Loving people. Secondly, we need to follow His example of submitting. You know, the world we live in, because of, again, our sinful nature is a very, very selfish nature. That's not what true love's about. Our nature is so selfish that it often doesn't show the true agape, godly type of love that it ought to show, because we only want to give love if we receive love. Or we'll only return love if somebody else shows us love. God's love is not like that. God's love loves unconditionally. He will love no matter what. And that's the way Christ loved, and that's the way we're supposed to love. We're to continue in that kind of love. Follow His example of loving. Secondly, follow His example of submitting. Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 36. Matthew 26, beginning in verse 36, it says, and sitting down, wrong chapter. Matthew 26, 36, it says, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith He unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And He went a little further and fell on His face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. You see how even Christ, as the Son, submitted to the Father's will. Submitted to being willing to, I'll go to the cross of Calvary. I'll die the death that must be made. I will make that sacrifice there on Calvary. I will pay the price that has to be paid. Oh, he knew that to taste the cup of death would be a bitter cup. He knew the suffering and the agony like no one else has ever known it. The torture that Christ would go through. The suffering that He would endure. And then the crucifixion on the cross of Calvary. But He said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. He submitted to the Heavenly Father. Down in verse 42 it says, and He went again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, Thy will be done. And He came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And He left them and went again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Christ was submitting to the Father's will. We need to learn to submit to God's will in our own life. We need to learn to submit to God's will in our lives and understand that, you know, there may be times where in the pathway of God's will, we go through some things that I don't necessarily understand that. I don't like that. I don't know why I've had to endure that. Or I don't know why I'm having to go through this in my life. But that we will submit to the Father's will in that area of life. Trusting God in the circumstances of your life and submitting to His will in every area. But not even just in that thought, but also even just in think of it in us willing to submit to God's word. Again, going back to the commandment of, if we love Him, we ought to keep His commandments. Do we truly willing to submit to that? Or is our Christianity sort of, God, I'm so sure thankful that You died on the cross for me. Oh, I'm so thankful You sent Your Son for me. Oh, I'm sure glad I'm saved now and going to heaven. Thank You, God, for all You've done for me. Thank You, God, for You've done so much. You're so wonderful, God. Thank You for all You've given me.
is our Christianity sometimes just based on what God has given to us and what God has done for us, and that we get to go to heaven and that settles our eternity. Thank God I'm not going to hell. I'm glad for everything that God's done for me. But do we ever turn it around and because of, you know, God's love for us, we will prove that love to Him and we will keep His commandments and we'll walk in His steps and we'll do the things we want to do. Listen, it takes a lot of submission to do that. Because there's going to be times as you read the Word of God and as you study the Word of God and you hear the preaching of the Bible, there are going to be times where you hear things and you read things and you say, I don't know if I can do that, God. I'm not sure you're asking me to do that. I'm not sure if I can do that. But you're going to have to submit to God to say, I will keep your commandments. I will do what your Word tells me to do. And will you? Will you submit? We need to follow Christ's example of submission. He submitted to the Father's will. And we need to submit to our Heavenly Father. We need to submit to God. We need to submit to what God's Word teaches us and commands us and tells us. This is how God wants you to live. Will you submit? There's no room for selfishness in Christianity. Christ didn't demonstrate selfishness. God didn't demonstrate selfishness. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It's not about selfishness. It ought to be about a life of we're living for Him. We're living for Him. And we need to submit to the Father's will. We need to submit to God's Word and do those things that He wants us to do. In Luke 6:46, Jesus said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Jesus says to some of the disciples, submit to God's Word and keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing to Him. Follow His example of submitting. Listen, if Christ was not willing to submit to the Father and submit to that will of going to Calvary and going to the cross and dying there, you and I would be lost. We'd have no hope. There's a song, He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set them free. He could have. He could have said, enough of this. I'm tired of the suffering. I don't want to go to the cross. Why should I even do it? Why should I die for Him? He's a sinner. He doesn't love me like He should. But no, He was willing to submit. He was willing to do the Father's will. He was willing to go to the cross for you and for me and pay that awful price so we could be saved, so we could have a home in heaven. We need to follow that example of submission, that example of submitting. Number one, let's follow His example of loving. Number two, let's follow His example of submitting. And number three, let's follow His example of praying. Follow His example of praying. Praying. How often in Scriptures do we read of Jesus Christ retreating to spend time alone in prayer? In Mark chapter number 1 and verse number 35, it says this about Jesus. "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." Jesus, the Son of God. He was, as hard as it is for us to understand, He was both God and in human flesh at the same time. And in human flesh, we understand that He faced temptations and He was weak and He was weary. He was hungry. He faced the temptations of Satan in Matthew 4. We understand that. He was both God, and so He was perfect, and He never would have sinned. But yet at the same time, He was experiencing so many things we would experience. He knew what it was like to hunger. He knew what it was like to suffer. He would feel all of that. He knew what it was like to just have the crowds pressing upon Him and everyone wanting Him. Maybe you feel like, oh, there's things in life that just... so many things, so pressures of life, you know. There's work and there's family and there's all these kids and there's a lot of things that they need a lot from you. Everything needs a lot from you. You got people that you care for and things, and it can take a lot out of you. Jesus knew it was important he get out and pray. If He was going to be able to deal with all those crowds of people,
All day long, always the crowds of people swarming to get near Jesus and wanting him and needing something from him and wanting what Jesus could do for them. To him, it was so vital that he spend time with his Father in prayer. He would get into a solitary place. He'd get into a quiet place. He'd go get in an alone place away from even his disciples, and he'd pray. He'd pray. We see that example many, many times. Listen, we ought to desire a prayer life. We ought to desire to learn to pray. In Luke chapter number 1, Jesus was praying, and his disciples came unto him. And in Luke chapter number 1, it says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray." Could you say that same thing to God? Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, I'd like to learn to pray like you prayed. That was the desire of their disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. We want to pray like you pray. It was important for Christ to pray, and it must be important that we also learn to pray. Prayer is a resource for believers that we must not neglect. There's a song that says this: "Once I was burdened with many a care, problems too hard for my weak soul to bear. Then in God's word came a message so clear: pray about everything. Ask of your Father, he loveth to please. Unlock his treasure, he gives us the keys. Claiming this promise, I drop to my knees. Pray about everything. Doubting and fretting can only bring shame. Worry and fear will dishonor his name. Go to your Savior, his promise to claim. Pray about everything. Riches in Jesus, abundant and free. Needs in our work, or whatever it be. Ours for the asking, this only his plea. Pray about everything. Prayer is a wonderful treasure. Prayer is a wonderful thing. Blessings all ours without measure. So pray about everything. Pray about everything. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? In the name of Christ our Savior, did you sue for loving favor as a shield today? Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer will change the night to day. So in sorrow and in gladness, don't forget to pray. When you met with great temptation, did you think to pray? By his dying love and merit, did you claim the Holy Spirit as your guide and stay? When your heart was filled with anger, did you think to pray? Did you plead for grace, my brother, that you might forgive another who had crossed your way? Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer will change the night today. So in sorrow and in gladness, don't forget to pray. We need to pray. We need to learn to pray. Walk in his steps. Follow his example of praying. Walking in his steps means we keep his commandments. It means we follow his example. We follow his example of loving. We follow his example of submitting. We follow his example of praying. And number 4, we follow his example of forgiving. Forgiving. In Luke 23, verse 34, it tells us that when the soldiers crucified Jesus, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It's incredible. All that they did to him. I mean, soldiers who had taken that whip or that cat of nine tails and taken it and just whipped that across where it would take it. It's far worse than we can imagine. The way it would have ripped the flesh of our Savior. It would have just torn him to pieces. Honestly, it's amazing that he wasn't even dead but long before the cross. The way it would have tore at his flesh and just ripped his flesh and the blood that would have been oozing out of him. It's no beautiful picture. To those soldiers that had beaten him, that had whipped him, soldiers who would have taken a crown of thorns and driven it deep down into his skull, long thorns. It's like the thorns on a rose. I mean deep thorns. Driven it into his skull. Mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews! Ah, look at your crown!" People that would have grabbed at his beard and just ripped it out. Spit on him. mock him, make fun of him. He says, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Ephesians 4:32 tells us, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We must forgive others who hurt us, even as Christ forgave those who hurt him. You say, oh, I'm abiding in Christ and I'm following Christ in my life. Are you really? Are you really? Then why do you hold a grudge against those who hurt you? Why is there so much bitterness in your heart towards those who treated you unjustly or unfair? We need to forgive. We're going to have to forgive. We live in a day and age when people are easily offended. A lot of things, and we easily can do things or say things that are misunderstood. Especially in a day and age where people text so much and use other things like that. It's not quite the same as other things. And you can even try to say things in a way that you think it's well-meaning, and even try to share your heart sometimes, and still, on the other end of that email message that you sent, it can be totally misunderstood, or somebody's hurt, and somebody's bitter, and somebody gets upset. And they won't forgive. We live in a world where there's a lot of unforgiveness. There's a lot of people who won't forgive their parents, think, oh, their parents did something where they mistreated me as a child. My parents weren't always fair with me, or my teacher wasn't fair with me. A lot of unforgiveness. We live where there's a lot of unforgiveness between husbands and wives, and people won't forgive, and people won't forget if it's something that someone did, or someone said, or that their family said, or something that their children did, or something that their parents did. Whatever, something that a friend did. And they won't forgive. And you're a Christian. Oh, that should never be our mark as a Christian. Our mark as a Christian should be to forgive. To forgive. Follow His example of forgiving. Follow His example of forgiving. Forgive others even if they've hurt you. Just as Christ has forgiven us. God's forgiven us. We must follow His example of loving. Follow His example of submitting. Follow His example of praying. Follow His example of forgiving. And number 5, follow His example of living. Follow His example of living. Turn with me to Colossians chapter number 2 and verse number 4. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 4. We must follow His example of living. Of living. Here in Colossians chapter 2, verses 4 to 8, the Bible says, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit." Paul speaking. He says, "Join in beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." As ye've received Christ the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Walk in Him. Walk after Him. Walk following Him. Walk in His steps. Verse 7 says, "Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." If I could add some the scriptures from other places, abounding therein with grace and abounding therein in love. Because we're walking in His steps. Verse 8 says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world." The rudiments of this world. Again, the philosophies of this world. The things of this world. 1 John tells us 2:15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." We need to follow His example of living. That means verse 6, we walk in Christ's steps. We walk in Christ's steps. We seek to follow Him in all ways. We seek to live as He lived. We seek to act as He would act. We seek to respond the way He would respond. We seek to do the things that He would do. We're going to follow His example of living. What did Christ live for? What was Christ's purpose in living? Well, the Bible says he came to seek and to save the lost. Are we seeking to save the lost? Are we seeking to share with them the gospel of Christ? Are we seeking to be a witness for Christ? We ought to follow his example of living, walking Christ's steps in every area, every way. And we ought not to walk after the things of the world. You got to be honest with yourself. And you got to be honest with God. Am I being sucked in by some of the things of this world? Have I been sucked in by a lot of the philosophies of this world? Is my lust and love and desire for things, is it a desire for the things of God, or many times, is it just a desire for the things that my flesh wants and a desire for the things that the world has to offer? Listen, your desire needs to be after God, and your desire to follow Christ, and your desire to walk in his steps. Are you following his example of living? Follow his example of living. Number 6, we need to follow his example of serving. Follow his example of serving. Turn with me to John chapter number 13. John chapter number 13. We need to follow his example of serving. Follow his example of serving. Look at the clock up there. We're still early. We got plenty of time. You're not going to be late for lunch or nothing. We need to follow his example of serving. Of serving. John chapter 13. And let's look at verse 1. John chapter 13, and beginning there in verse 1, it says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God." Think of what that verse says. All that God had given him to do, all the power that God had given him, God would put all things into his hand. I mean, he is the king. He's the king, man. He's the Lord of lords, the King of kings. That's who Jesus is. He knew that he was come from God, and he knew that he would soon be going back to be with the Father in heaven. He was God. But look what he did, verse 4. He riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, his overgarments that would have gotten the way for what he was going to try to do. Pulled back or girded it up and got himself ready. And it says he took a towel and he girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. What a servant. He was God. He was God. And yet he served his disciples. Look at what it says in verse number 12. John 13:12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, "Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. I am your Master. I am Lord." He says in verse 14, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." It was an example. An example of what? That we need to have a foot washing ceremony in our services? I don't believe that. There are some that think maybe we should do that. I don't think it's that ceremony we need. I think it's that in all matters we're to follow that example of serving. Serving. I'm to serve you. You're to serve me and serve one another. We're all to serve one another. There's no big shots and little shots. There's no, he's the Lord and he's Lord over the church. No, he's supposed to be an example to the flock. The Bible says about a pastor. And what are we all following Christ's example? We're to be servants. So often, even in our homes, we've got, again, the self-serving mentality. The selfish attitude that once expects her husband just to serve me, and children just to serve me, and wife just to serve me. Okay, you the chief of your house. The Bible says you to be the chief servant. You're to be the servant. You serve your wife and you serve your children. Don't always be looking for, what can they do for me? I expect them, they better serve me. No, if you're going to be like Jesus, you're supposed to serve them. You're to serve them. You serve your husband. Wives, you serve your husband. Husbands serve your wives. Children serve your parents. Parents serve your children. In the church, everyone serve one another. We ought to be looking for ways to serve. Jesus looked that night and he said, here's a way that I can teach them a lesson. Here's a way that I can set them an example tonight. Here's a way tonight that after supper, I'm going to show them how they ought to live. I want them to serve one another. I'm going to give them an example. I want to give them a lesson that they'll never forget. They need to serve one another. Will you do that? Will you follow Christ's example of serving? Philippians chapter number 2, verse 3 to 8 says this. This will be our last verse. Philippians 2, verse 3 to 8. These verses are so good, and we need to commit them to memory even. We need to live like this. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 to 8 says this. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. That's humility. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. It takes that humble attitude and mentality in order to serve. Because if we think, we esteem ourselves more highly, we think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, what's wrong with that? How come they're not serving me? What's wrong with her? How come she's not serving me? Doesn't she understand who I am? How can I serve her? How can I serve him? How can I serve? What can I do to be a blessing to some other lady? What can I do? There's someone there that maybe has a need. Is there something I can do to encourage someone else? Is there something I can do to serve someone else? Is there something I can do to help that family? What can I do to serve my wife? What can I do to treat her better? What can I do to show her my love? What can I do to serve my husband? What can I do to serve my children? What can I do to serve my parents? I'm not just going to expect them, okay, feed me, take care of me, do this, give me money, do that. Hey, what can you do to serve? What can we do to serve one another? We ought to be looking to serve. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That was his mind. That was his mentality. Being humble, serving others, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. I mean, he understood, just as John said, that he was God. But still, verse 7, he made himself of no reputation. Though he was Lord and Master and King of kings and God himself, he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. A servant. Even to the point, as verse 8 talks about, he would humble himself and be obedient and go to the cross. Why? Because he wanted to serve you. He didn't want you to have to die and go to hell. He was going to serve you in a way that you could never do anything to save yourself, but he would serve you the ultimate sacrifice and humility to go to the cross of Calvary so that you could be saved and go to heaven. Will we follow his example of serving? let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We're to have that same mind, that same humility. Walking in His steps means we keep His commandments. We follow His example. And we should follow His example of loving. We're to love one another. We're to continue in His love, just like He loved, the same way the Father loved. An agape love, an unconditional love, a love that would love irregardless of others' love for them. We need to follow His example of loving, follow His example of submitting. Will you submit to God the Father's will in your life? Will you submit to God the Father's will in your life? Not just in the circumstances of life, but this is God's will. And it wearies Him when He sometimes has to look at His people and say, why do you call me Lord, Lord? Not do the things which I say. We need to submit, follow His example of loving, follow His example of submitting, follow His example of praying, follow His example of forgiving, follow His example of living, and follow His example of serving. Of serving. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I ask You please to convict us and challenge us, Lord. You are our ultimate example. And we understand we would have absolutely nothing if not for You. We'd be lost. We'd be destined for hell. We'd have no hope. No hope of heaven. No hope for eternal life. There's nothing we could possibly do to earn our salvation. Our works, our own righteousness could do nothing ever to save us from our sin. We are totally dependent on You. Thank You, Father, for showing Your love to us in such a way that You would unselfishly give Your only begotten Son and let Him come down to earth and live among sinful men and die on the cross of Calvary to pay the penalty and take the punishment for our sins. Lord, I pray You'd help first that each one would believe that and truly be born again and truly trust Christ as their Savior.